Welcome to this special edition of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. I've put together these extra shows, in addition to the regular weekly podcasts, in order to bring you all the conversations I recorded live at the Photography Show 2014. In this first edition, I'm talking with Len Carter, manufacturers of professional lighting equipment, and Paramo, who make excellent hard-wearing clothing that keeps you comfortable in the great outdoors. As ever, you can check out all the show notes to this and all other shows at theactivephotographer.com. I'm stood here on the Len Carter stand, and with me is Gary Edwards, who is one of the technical wizards. I'm sure he would either love that description or hate it, but we'll find out. But Len Carter, for those of you who don't know, Len Carter make lighting kits, on-location lights, studio lights, that sort of thing. And regular followers of my activities will know that for some time I've been looking for new solutions for my on-location lighting. So Gary, what we've got in front of us here at the moment, we're going to start off, this is the Safari 2 head. Just tell us a little bit about what this light is and the battery pack that goes with it and the kit.
Yeah, sure, Giles. It's our third generation of location lighting, and we've been into location lighting for now for, I think, 5 years. This is the third generation, which shows how quickly we're developing. Lithium battery, 400 flashes at full power, and the most important thing of all is 600 watt seconds of power. Now, 600 watt seconds will overpower the sun. There's loads of competitive offerings out there, and they range from sort of 250 to 400 watt seconds, and the sellers, who are not normally manufacturers, will make all sorts of claims, but in reality, with that kind of power, all you can do is provide field flash. What creative photography is about is creating your own light, and to do that you need real power on a sunny day. You're okay at dusk, you're okay at dawn, you're okay on a Manchester rainy day, but when you go out on the job and you've got to get the results, you've got to have enough power to get whatever you want regardless of the weather. And that's why we have nothing less than 600 watt seconds. It's also available as a 1200 watt second kit, which is basically two units, giving a total of 1200 watt seconds. But because they're remote controlled, which is a big jump with this particular model, you can have any number of units working together. So we like people to buy a pair of kits, a pair of units, so they've got 600 watts by 600 watts, 1200 watt seconds, control the light, not just make use of what's there. And because they are separate units, you've got no wires trailing between them, you haven't got the tripping hazards that go with it, you haven't got the machinery, the equipment damage that goes with it when people trip over them, and the whole thing's lighter because you've got two units you can carry separately if you have to do your own carrying. The build quality, aluminium cases, nylon top panel, which is pretty well bulletproof. The flash head itself, S-Fit, is made of metal, it's extruded aluminium, it's almost bomb-proof. You can hang any kind of modifier from it, large beauty dishes, any soft pots. You don't worry about the security of it, whether it fall over, whether someone will get hurt or break equipment.
And of course, health and safety is one of those things that, as a working professional, I'm always reminding people, it's all very well insuring your kit, but you have to think about insuring yourself and trip hazards and make sure cables are out the way and sandbags are on stands and all this sort of thing. Now, just going back to what you were saying about the cable, the cable for a number of reasons, it's a thicker gauge of cable compared to, say, the models that are designed for studio use. But with yourselves and other manufacturers, you can get extension cables. But as you were explaining to me earlier, there is a reason why you wouldn't necessarily want to have the extension cable, aside from the safety aspect, and why having two separate units is preferable. Just tell us a bit about that.
Yes, if you're going to have an extension cable, you have resistive losses. When you increase the length of the cable, you lose power, as simple as that. Now, what's the point of having a really powerful unit, 600 watt seconds, if you then put a long cable on it and end up with 300 watt seconds?
Yeah.
So the great advantage, apart from the safety angle, and the convenience angle is that if you decide that, you know, with an extension cable you might be able to get 8 metres apart, well, with this you can get 100 metres apart if you want to, because that's the range of the radio control.
And as you said previously, you know, I'll be doing a location shoot, for example, and in the past I've worked sort of underground in disused tunnels or what have you, and, you know, sort of over half a mile long. Now, with the likes of Pocket Wizards, the range, you know, atmospherics can affect the range and what have you, but at the end of the day, it comes down to people. If you're having to shout down to your assistant to change up a third of a stop or down or what have you, I sometimes use walkie-talkies for when I need to. But if you have the remote control and your one looks a little bit like a Pocket Wizard that sits on the camera, I believe there are 16 groups.
So yes, you can 16 have 16 different lights. Groups.
Yeah.
You could have any number of lights and control up to 16 of them individually.
And do these... just looking at the top of this, the Safari 2 unit, is this a photo cell that you have on the top here?
No, the photo cell is actually on the unit itself.
Oh, okay.
All it is, Giles, is that we've used the casing from existing flash head.
Oh, okay.
Because it's much cheaper than paying £20,000 for new trolley.
So it's on there.
So, and it has S1 and S2 triggering, which means you can use it with hot shoe flashes if you want to.
Okay.
And it will disregard the first flash, right, you know, the pre-flash from the hot shoe.
So
it's quite clever stuff.
For those that don't understand with sort of photo slaves and what have you, just explain what we mean by that.
Well, basically, the photo slave is just a photoelectric cell. It's pretty old technology, but it works. It sees the flash from another unit and fires its own flash.
Yeah.
And it's very reliable indoors.
Yeah.
But as soon as you get outdoors, you have a concern it won't work in bright sunlight because there's not enough difference between the flash and the sunlight.
Yeah.
But it's a backup, basically. We say use a radio triggering system that just works every time.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, you know, most people listening to this probably won't be used to using, say, 16 lights on the shoot. I think the most I've used is 14 on one to create one shot. So, say you needed to go beyond that those 16 units, and you had a box full of speed lights. In theory, as long as the line of sight is such and a good visibility with that photo cell, you can start adding supplementary lights to...
Oh, you can.
You know.
Or you can get some speed lights, which, in fact, use our own radio technology, so
yeah,
they could be part of the system.
Yeah.
It's a very versatile system because of it.
I mean, that's exactly what we're looking for, yes, is the versatility.
Yeah. You can't go out to a shoot with a fixed idea in your mind of how you're going to do something. You've got to have the equipment you're going to need to get something different, because in today's world of photography, in my lifetime, it's changed enormously. You have to be better today's world of professional photography, you have to produce better results than your competitors, different results, and clients are far more demanding. And if they want the sun to come from one direction but it happens to be coming from the other direction, you've got to change the direction. And short of putting your Superman kit on and travelling 93 million miles to push the sun away, you use one of these things to change the direction of the light. You can do it if you have that power and if you have this kind of equipment.
There's just I think what we'll do in a moment, we'll just have a look at some of the soft boxes and so forth that you have as part of the system here. But just to round off with this particular unit, on the battery pack itself, there are a number of buttons there, and I just want to highlight this. You've got one that says lamp here, and you were telling me earlier about the modelling lamp on the Safari 2 and the power and the output and what have you. So again, a lot of people may not understand why you would want a modelling lamp at all, or on a unit that's going to be outdoors or what have you. But also just the power that you demonstrated this to me yesterday. Just tell us a bit about that and the technology involved with that.
Yeah, sorry, Giles, I forgot about that because I take it for granted. Most of these outdoor location lights have something like a halogen lamp, 20 watts, which does just glows dull yellow. It's useless, because a modelling lamp is supposed to show you where the shadows are going to fall and give you a good indication of the depth of those shadows.
It's like a constant light
source. It's a constant light. It doesn't affect the exposure, but it shows you basically where the shadows are going to fall. A 20-watt halogen lamp does nothing. Some people have got LED lights that are sort of 5 watts, 7 watts. They don't do anything either. This is 15 watts, and 15 watts is roughly equivalent to 150 watts of halogen.
Right.
And it's actually enough to work. It's as bright as most studio flash heads.
Mm. Well, you showed me yesterday, actually, you had, where we stood on your display here, we've got an array of lights on a podium, and then you've got the same setup sort of at the far opposite corner, and you actually shone that light up at your display boards. And, I mean, the light doesn't change in this exhibition centre here. It's what you'd expect, but the amount of light that was still falling on your display board at the back of the stand there was really impressive.
It's very impressive. It's a powerful light, and nobody else has got this kind of power.
And are they user changeable?
The LEDs aren't, but you know, you're looking at a life expectancy estimated 15,000 hours.
It's incredible. I think
so. That's going to last longer than most of us will.
Yeah.
So we don't worry about that.
Well, on that sobering thought, let's just have a little wander across here, because just behind you we've got a beauty dish. Now we're talking about light modifiers that give you different qualities of light. You've got the units themselves, which we'll take as a given, but then the way that you craft the light that's coming out and the way that you let it fall on your subject. You might have a very reflective subject like a car or a mountain bike, but then you'll equally have a model with fair skin, or you might go for a very edgy look. We've got a beauty dish here, but then I'm a big fan of softboxes. So just tell us a bit about the system that you have in place that allows all these different lighting effects.
Well, all of our lights have S-fit fittings, which is the de facto standard. I mean, you've got other makes, of course, but they're all minority. I would think, I don't know percentages, but I think something like 90% of all the fittings, all the modifiers are S-fit, which means not only have you got a massive choice, but if you go slightly mad and decide not to buy the accessories from Len Carter for some reason, there's plenty of other people. So you've got a very wide choice of modifiers. Now, there's no such thing as the right modifier for every purpose. I use just about everything there is, but I tend to go for hard light. So I'm a great believer in the beauty dishes. We're just talking about beauty dishes. We got them in two sizes, 40 and 70 centimetres. They produce much the same result, but the 70 centimetres is much more versatile. And we've got them in both white and silver. Now, what I always say, not ever to the model, if I'm using a white beauty dish on a model, it's because her skin is not as good as I'd like it to be, because any beauty dish will show up the beauty, but also the faults.
Yes. Yeah.
And the silver one shows the faults up in italics. So if I'm using a white one on the model, she doesn't know it's because her skin's not as good as it looks in her profile pictures.
That's very honest of you.
Well, it is.
But then people listen to this show because they like the honesty, so that's, you know, we want to advocate that. So.
I think I have a reputation for being honest and straightforward.
Yeah.
The beauty dish is not for photographing Mrs. Brown with her two kids. It's for a glamorous model with very good bone structure, who slept in her own bed last night, which is a rarity, and who looks fresh and clean, and who has good makeup.
But then, just on that note, in front of us, we've got one of the display images, which you were telling me about yesterday, which I believe is if it was a crop or not, but it was shot on a D3. And the quality of decent studio lighting to bring out and make the most of the sensor on your camera is just on that. The lighting is lovely on that model's skin. You know, but we've got to our right here, we've got some gridded softboxes. We've got like a sort of an octa sort of shape thing. We've got snoots. Let's talk about these just a little bit.
Of course, I mean, what we're looking at right now is our strip softbox, 140 by 30 centimetres. Now, of course, these things were designed not by me, but by people like me who are advertising photographers, purely to light wine bottles. So you've got a specular highlight running, diffuse specular highlight running down the length of the bottle. But it's developed, and of course we're an inventive lot of photographers, and what we use is now for mainly fashion shots and artistic nude shots, where you have them in the rim light position behind the model, side and behind, to light the edges, and we put a honeycomb grid on, and then we don't get flare. Something I use all the time, and again, little bit of thought, the honeycombs on ours, you notice that they are quite deep. They're 40 millimetres deep and 40 millimetres square. And just looking around this show at some of the competitors' ones, you can get your head through the holes.
Yeah.
They're decorative. They don't work.
Yeah.
Everything we do is designed by actual working photographers. Yeah. Everybody on this stand is a professional photographer who earns a living at it. And that finds its way into the product design.
And just as I glance over your shoulder, and we'll round off on this, because I think we've got a good overview of you know, these sort of lights. They're sort of, in terms of size within the range, they're on the smaller side, they're more compact, and certainly for me going off in location and going up a hillside, I could throw them into a rucksack on my back and they'd be fine. But you've also got one set of lights over on your display here, which essentially people would think of them as kind of beefed up flash guns, but of course they're not. So you've obviously got a need within your range to bring out that sort of product as well.
Yes, that's the Atom. Now, the Atom isn't our own product.
Okay.
It's made by a company in China, and they're very, very good. They are basically hot shoe flashes on steroids.
Yeah.
Because the main problem that you've got with hot shoe flashes is very, very low power. Mm. They vary. The power of hot shoe flashes is never stated by their manufacturers. They don't want you to know. Mm. But from research, I'd say that they vary. They range from 60 watt seconds up to maybe 100. Mm. Mm. But you can't really tell, because they use this very efficient reflector, which produces an unusable light, but a fairly powerful looking one. These are, great thing about these is there's two models, 180 and 360 watt seconds. So they're far more powerful than any hot shoe flash gun.
Yeah.
But the great thing about them is that they are bare bulb. You can take the reflector off. You don't have that whole hard light reflector from a hot shoe flash gun. You can take the reflector off completely and use it in a beauty dish or a soft box and get proper light distribution that you cannot get with a hot shoe flash gun. And they have the same radio control system as the Safari unit that we were just talking about.
So hopefully, guys, what we've highlighted here is that just within this one manufacturer, Len Carter, you have... We haven't talked to anything really about the studio-based units, but you have different lighting units for different photographers with different requirements, but you also have an underlying system which allows you to interchange, to use these components to get the best out of the lights for your own usage. Let's just round off. If people want to find out a bit more about you guys and what you do, and I'll in the show notes, I'll be linking to your website and what have you. Where should they look to find out more?
Well, look on the website. That's the obvious first place, www.lencarter.com. But more to the point, I think we're the only manufacturer, I may be wrong on this, but I think we're the only manufacturer where you can ring up and speak to somebody who's been a working professional in their life and who knows what you're talking about and who can advise and who isn't just trying to get his hands on your bit of plastic.
Yeah.
You will get honest advice from us. You won't get a salesman reading from a script.
And that does count for a lot. And
it does.
Regular listeners will know that I'm very upfront with my thoughts. I like to think I'm quite diplomatic, but for me, when I'm working with clients or I'm trying to buy a product or a service, I do appreciate the fact that sometimes people will say, well, look, I could sell you this one, but it's not going to do what you're wanting it to. Just because it's our latest model, that doesn't mean you should be using it. But that honesty counts for a lot.
Well, that is always my approach, Charles. I will frequently tell customers, sorry, but that is not the right thing for this. You don't need to spend that much. Do this instead.
Yeah.
And it's everything from technical issues with flash to, look, you don't really need to buy this expensive bag. Go to Tesco's and get a trolley on wheels.
Yeah.
it's less attractive to thieves and it will cost you a third as much. I probably don't do the company any favours for this, but I give honest, not always very tactful advice, but I tell people the truth.
Yeah.
And it pays off handsomely because we've got a very, very loyal customer base.
Yeah. That's really good to hear. And so we were saying yesterday, I didn't manage to catch up with you in previous years when when at this location it was focused on imaging. But I'm very, very glad that I did, and I know that we had a chat yesterday about some test and review activities of some of these items. So I look forward to getting my hands on them in the real world and to seeing what we can do. But for now, Gary, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you very much.
And
James,
I hope it's been interesting and useful for everyone listening. Of course, you can always run things past me and ask me questions, but I am not the go-to guy. These guys are very approachable. Drop them an email and have a look at their website. So, Gary, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, John.
And I'll let you get on with your public.
Okay.
Cheers.
Thanks very much.
So once again, I have the great pleasure of catching up with Catherine and Helen from Paramo. You ladies only have to go by your first names now. We have so many of these talks every year we catch up with you. So those of you who don't know who Catherine and Helen are, just go back into the podcast archive and search Paramo, and you'll hear us talking in previous years at various shows. We've done this at the Outdoors Show and the Focus on Imaging, as it was now. But of course now, here we are at the very first The Photography Show. And we're kind of going to run through a number of items in the range. The first item is a jacket here, and it's one for the female listeners amongst you. Helen, let's get straight into it. Tell us what you've got.
Sporting the ladies' Alondra jacket. So it's a jacket primarily designed for nature watchers, people that are going to be carrying a fair amount of equipment. The pockets are very much designed with load carrying in mind, and where they're positioned, make sure that you can carry as much as you need. It's quite a long line jacket, which is something that we've listened to consumer feedback about, but it's also a tailored female jacket, so it's not big and boxy and shapeless. It's definitely got tailoring to it.
And you mentioned there the kind of the even weight distribution. I know as a walker and as a photographer, if you're slightly off balance because your pockets, your bag is off to one side or something, just being able to feel that, and I find this with all manner of garments, if you get everything sort of set up correctly and spread around, you don't feel that weight.
No,
absolutely. You've got these big front pockets that are here, like sort of hand pockets.
Yes, exactly.
So in terms of dog walkers are going to love it for treats and bags and leads and what have you. Photographers with your sort of binoculars or lens caps, all those things that you just wish you had a big, nice big front pocket to put things
and what we away. Also have is just tucked behind that large pocket there at the front, each one has fleece lined hand warming pockets.
Okay.
So they don't you can fill the pockets, but you can also put your hands behind and keep them nice and snug. So particularly if you're nature watching, you're going to be stationary for some time, you're waiting for the light to be right, on a sunrise or sunset, then you can stay warm.
And in terms of the colour scheme of your garments, those of you that are aware of Paramo and the garments and the colourways and what have you, there's a real range. These are very subtle. They're nice kind of woodland, for want of a better term, woodland, nice subtle understated colours.
Absolutely. I mean, the nature range is very much muted colours. You want to blend into nature rather than standing out. And in complete contrast, we have other products that are for the mountains where you really do need to be seen. It's part and parcel of the safety aspect of it. We've got the really bright blues and the bright reds for that, for those type of products. And
we'll talk about one of those jackets sort of in a while, but poor Catherine's standing here. It's been a long day, I know. Let's keep you awake. Let's get you chatting. So is there anything else that you want to highlight about this particular jacket?
I think for me, what I've really liked about it, because I wear and it's the length, and it's just great because it literally comes mid-thigh, probably one of the longest jackets that's a proper walking jacket that you can walk in, you can stride uphill in it and still have that coverage right down to the middle of your thigh, which is great if you're a dog walker, for example, because you don't always want to, you know, if you're rushing out at lunchtime like I do, it saves having to put on a pair of walking trousers necessarily, even though we've got such lovely walking trousers, but you don't always want to have to put them on for a 10-minute walk at lunch break. And of course, it's got the lovely hood with the fleece-lined collar as well, which is so snug.
And I've got to say, you're sporting it with some nice jeans and your kind of cross-trainer shoes. It actually looks really nice in that combo.
We've actually sold quite a lot in our London store for people working in the city who like to think they're living in the country or from the country.
It can be quite a smart commuter jacket.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's something that is robust enough that they can use on or during the week, going from home to work, but also at the weekends when they're out doing the things that they want to do.
Yeah. And you mentioned there the your flagship store. For those who don't know, that's in Covent Garden. I will put a link in the show notes to that. Am I right in thinking it has every item in your range there?
Yeah, as long as we've got it in stock, they'll have it there in the store. And often if things are actually leaving our range or are being tried in our range, so if we do a limited edition to see how it goes, we'll make sure it's in the London store because we recognise that it's the kind of leading edge, if you like.
Yeah.
And it gives us a chance to kind of assess how things go. And then they sometimes go on general sale after that.
And those of you that are into your Twitter, that store actually has its own Twitter account. And they're very friendly. And, you know, whenever I'm in London, I swing by and they even offered me a cup of tea and some biscuits. That's when you know it's a good company that knows that I like a nice cup of tea. So let's move on to the next garments here. Something quite different. It's a bit brighter, it's a bit lighter weight, but it's kind of a two-part system.
It is, yeah. This is new out, and it's called, the men's version is called the Bora, B-O-R-A. The ladies' version is the Zonda, Z-O-N-D-A. They're both follow the same principle in that you've got a really lovely soft fleece, incredibly soft to wear and very light, and that is a water repellent fleece, and then you've got a very light, using our windproof light fabric, outer, just a windproof smock for the men and a windproof jacket for the ladies, and that's water repellent as well.
And it really is. I mean, you know, we in this industry, we always talk about lightweight and ultralight, and that it really is super
it's one of
lightweight.
The lightest products we produce.
Absolutely.
And yet it's still got all the features you'd expect. So it's still got a full hood that's, you know, can be adjusted, can be put away, and will give you really good head protection. Still got a peak on it.
And is the peak like the standard kind of like a wire mouldable?
No, it's
type,
actually
it
a foam one.
Okay.
So, again, for light and ease of packing, really.
And that's, you know... those of you that follow my activity and have done for a long time, you know that even now I still regularly wear the Velez Adventure smock because I like a smock design. And I have worked out how to pack it down pretty small through necessity. But compared to this, it doesn't come close.
No, it's...
The amount of space it takes up by comparison is just incredible. Now, granted, it is a very different garment, but if you are looking for that immediate protection that can go in the top of your rucksack, that's, you know, easily storable when the weather improves after a shower or what have you, then this is where you should be looking.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the versatility of what this the fleece and the windproof together and separately can give you.
And that's what I like about the Paramo system, is that everything is thought through rather than individual garments. They can be used independently, but everything properly fits in with its corresponding garment
in
the system.
I mean, this more than anything, because the two, as I mentioned, are both water repellent when worn individually and a hold off a shower for you, but put them together and you get much more protection. You get virtually water analogy, you know, our analogy waterproof protection. So it means it's a really versatile system. If you're going on holiday, you're traveling, you're backpacking or whatever, you can choose either piece or you can put them together. And what we have done is build in a lot of ventilation on the smock style for the men, so that you've got those twin zips just like you've got on your Velez, and it means that you can put a waist belt through there if you're actually out on the hill, and it does mean that you can reach through and put your hands in the pockets of the garment behind it.
Absolutely. And you've got, is that a standard sort of mid pocket, sort of chest pocket?
Yeah, it's a great chest pocket that really gives you a lot of storage space.
That's fantastic.
With a little pouch for any valuables,
right,
so that you don't have to feel around in there to find them.
And that's the thing, if it is tipping down with rain and you do need to go in there, if you know that something is in that small little bit, pocket, yeah. You know that you can just
instantly,
very gently access that. And just let's just talk about the colours a little bit, because it is in Helen. I'm surprised you're not getting warm, because it's, you know, it's quite warm under these layers. You're still sporting. It must be that comfortable. But in comparison, these greens, these blues really do
jump out, you know. Yeah.
And you can mix and match them. So we've got green fleeces and blue fleeces, green outers and blue outers.
Okay, so it's just the two colour combos. Yeah. Okay.
And similarly with the ladies, there's the pink clover.
Oh, right.
And the wreath, neon blue, sorry.
Wow, that is a... That
it's quite stunning.
In a good way, it's a shocking pink. Yeah. And I mean that in a very good way. It's not my colour, of course. I'm far too manly for that. But, salmon is more my pink if I was to go for it, I think. But yeah, absolutely. So... we've highlighted three garments here that all have their place and different people wanting different things out of them. So I've got it. We were talking about this earlier today. I've got some little adventures that are coming up through the year, which are going to be a bit more arduous, a bit more hostile. So that I think is a good place to kind of to think about when the location is a bit more hostile. What we'd be looking at in the range, and you've picked out another new garment here, which again I said to you just now, actually the colourway in this is just the accented zips on it is fantastic. It's red against the blue, very patriotic.
Of course.
Should have bought it in 2012 for the Olympics. let's talk about this, Catherine. Let's
Well, these we brought out last autumn really for that winter market, but they good all year round if you're in that sort of environment, high in the mountains or somewhere really filthy in terms of wet and cold or miserable, and they're designed really to be, you know, an alpine jacket, one that you can climb in and do all sorts of sports where you don't want a lot of fabric flapping around.
See, that was all my... I remember, I forget how many years ago we first met, but when I first spoke to you and we were talking about me taking a look at a jacket for review, one of the things that I said is one of my pet peeves is having lots of flappy material when I'm bringing the camera up to my face or what have you. And the Velez has been very good for that. And this is I guess not fitted in the same way that a lady's jacket is, but it is a nice sort of slim cut.
We call it our athletic fit. I mean, it's our first athletic fit.
The difference being is that we've actually introduced stretch fabric, which has allowed us to actually make that cut that much closer. So it's very much a case of being able to make that athletic cut.
Is that down the sides?
Yes, exactly. And of course the shoulders as well.
Right,
so you can really move from the places that you're going to be stretching and pulling and twisting and making sure that it's going to give you as much movement as possible, but won't be, like you say, the huge amount of fabric.
And you've got, just on the front here, you've got a reflective strip that runs down one of the
small pockets.
And you've got reflective around
the back as well. That's a feature which is shared again by the Velez, sort of a long, what do we call it? Mine's gone blank now. Just
across the chest
there.
Kangaroo.
In terms of storage, in terms of zips and ventilation, there are a lot of people will have seen me wearing a. I'm going to have to drop the name in. I'm afraid. Mountain Equipment fleece jacket. It's done me very well, but it's got lots of zippers on it, and because they're accented in the colours, that you will know which one I'm talking about. But this is very similar. So tell me what each of these zips are, because I know actually what you're going to say, but for those that maybe look at this for the first time,
I mean, obviously you've got your central front zip, which is a locking zip. Actually, you can hold it in place.
Oh wow, that's clever.
And it opens from both ends, as virtually all our zips do, I think, on all our jackets. So that's crucial for ventilation and temperature control. You've got poppers behind it, so you can actually have it open all the way.
Oh wow.
And then
bend through it,
so you know you've got that ability to moderate your temperature there.
Because of course that's the thing with the smock, you've got that zip just down sort of quarter length, and that's kind of you're stuck with it.
And
absolutely.
And then talking about temperature control, you've actually got big zips here on the front of your arms.
Right.
They're actually lined with mesh pump liner so that it does get rid of any water that gets in through them. But they allow you to really, without taking your jacket on and off, moderate your temperature easily. And of course, with ours, you can also push up the sleeves if you need to get some more cool air in. We've got pockets high up so they don't interfere with any harness or even with if you're riding a bike, they're not going to get in the way. So you've got hand warming pockets which are lined with pump liner so that they'll help dry out. If you've got gloves in them or something, it will dry that out for you. And then you've got a big pocket on the chest on the left side which will hold an OS map, and a smaller pocket on the other side where you can clip. You've got a clip there on the front.
And you probably heard there's a Velcro fastening
on that,
on there.
Fast access, really, so that things aren't going to get lost in there if you need them in a hurry, whether it's a compass or whatever, GPS.
Sure.
You've also got internal pocket just on one side where you can store things that you want inside your jacket, not on the outside.
Yeah. One thing that we've kind of not really spoken about much in the past, we have probably in conversation throughout the year, but certainly not on record, as it were, is the idea of looking after your kit. It stands to reason if you take care of any kit, it's going to last. We were talking earlier about how my Velez is due for a wash and a reproof, and when I can find the time, I will get that done shortly. But of course, a lot of people are going to be aware of the Nicwax brand, and Nicwax and Paramo, of course, directly connected. And how, for those people listening who use Paramo, or their friends maybe do, and they want to know how they should best look after their garments, and they will last and last and last. What is your recommendation for that?
I mean, obviously, it depends on what you're doing in it and where you're doing it. You know, if you're going to be getting really muddy and really sweaty, then just like if you were going down the gym, you'd want to wash it pretty often. If you were wearing a base layer to the gym, you'd wash it every time, probably. You can wash our garments, and it won't damage them in the least. In fact, it helps them work better. So you can wash it in tech wash as often as it needs. And then what I find easy, Giles, is if it's I've washed it a few times in tech wash and I want to know whether to reproof it with the TX Direct, the purple one, I lift it out the washing machine while it's still wet. I stick it under the tap, under the cold tap in the washroom, and if the water doesn't just bead off, if it sticks a bit, then I put it back in the machine right away with the TX.
And you know, this is, I know that we've spoken in the past. There's one anecdote which I certainly won't repeat on here, but there was a gentleman who absolutely caused a hell of a fuss about Paramo garments, and there was, as far as I can tell, there was no need for it, because it's clear he wasn't looking after them. And you know, I can look at the Velez that I've got at the moment, and I can tell that it needs proofing. And we talked about this earlier. I'm not jumping up and down. I know it's like anything. It's like with my lenses. If my pictures are looking a bit soft, I look at the front, there's a load of rubbish on the front of the lens. I know I have to clean it. You just have to appreciate that stuff needs looking after.
I mean, you've still got a bit of time, as you found out, you know, if it does need, if you can tell because the water isn't beading off, it's, you're not necessarily going to get wet inside, but it's just a kind of warning system, an early warning system that actually is going to need washing, and you try and plan that in so that you're not without it for days on end, you know, and, like you said.
And, you know, I like, with any kit that I try or review or anything like that, I like to push it, maybe not necessarily the way that the manufacturers intend it. So I put a tweet out the other day saying that I was out in a torrential rain, and I had a thin weight down jacket underneath that Velez. Now, it's not necessarily what you'd expect, but the conditions, I thought, okay, I'm going to try it. Ironically, you know, after that, it came out lovely and hot, and it was too much. But even looking and thinking, okay, so the water isn't immediately beading off like I know it should, there was no water inside. It didn't affect the down in the jacket, and, you know, I wasn't sweating too much. So the breathability of the Paramo garment, it still allowed the, you know, the moisture to escape, and I was nice and comfortable, and that's what it's about. So,
but I mean, with any jacket, whether it's a Paramo one or not, you're going to improve it with using Nicwax on it at regular intervals. You know, it improves the breathability, so you won't get wet on the inside. It improves its ability to get rid of more, you know, the rain as well.
And, you know, I'll link to Nick Wax products as well. But, Helen, of course, it's not just... We've talked about TechWatch, we've got TX Direct. But for people that just want to proof their garments that... and things like rucksacks and tents and what have you, there is an ever-growing range of solutions.
Oh, absolutely. there's a good range of Nick Wax products. So tent and gear-proof is one example where if your tent looks like it's still got plenty of years left in it, but it's letting in water, then there is a way of actually dealing with that. Mm. So, I mean, sandal wash and base wash.
Base layers, yes, because, again, a lot of people wouldn't think of buying a kind of specialist product to wash their base layers in, but if you use base wash in the wash or base fresh in the conditioner kind of tray, if you like, then you can actually not only restore it, you can actually improve its performance so that it actually wicks better, dries quicker, smells less. So it's actually, you know, a three-way process.
If hygiene should ever be adhered to, it should be base layers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, especially if you're going for an arduous trek somewhere. I think it's a nice little kind of summation of some of the newer products and across the range of different requirements. As ever, I'm going to ask you to give us a link to a website. We'll put it in the show notes. So where you would like people to have a look at, what have you?
Yep, so it's paramo.co.uk. Do have a look at our latest videos. So if you're interested in how the waterproofs actually work, do take a look at the Nick Wax Analogy video as well. And if you're interested in where Paramo comes from originally in terms of where it's manufactured and the story behind the Michelina Foundation, do look at our ethical manufacturing video as well.
It's called Beyond the Jacket.
Beyond the jacket.co.uk.
No, it's just on our standard website.
Okay.
Just on paramo.co.uk.
I want to make sure I've got all the links in for you.
Yeah,
it's really important. Okay, so lovely. As ever, it's been a pleasure. I know, it's like I say, it's been a long day. I think we all need a cup of tea and we're all holding our backs. But I do always appreciate catching up with you. I know people listening to this like to hear all about the latest in your range. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Giles.
Speak again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Remember, you can check out all the show notes to this and other specials, as well as the regular weekly shows, at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget, I'm on Twitter, @GilesBabbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcasts.